T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like, look at Magic Johnson, right? If he'd been drafted by the Clippers and not the Lakers, does he go to, you know, 9 finals in 12 years? No, he went to play with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who at the time might have been the best player to ever put on a uniform. I mean, great players help each other, you know. I mean, you know, Pippen helped Jordan immensely. That doesn't make Jordan any less great, right? That being said, the interesting thing with Steph is, Matt, I remember at the beginning of the season, you said Steph's efficiency is really going to suffer without having Klay Thompson.
That's right.
And it really did suffer initially, right? But
yes.
What great players do is they adjust and they figure things out and they figure out new ways to go about their business. And that's what Steph did. And then his efficiency went through the chart, off the charts, right? You even saw it last night. Without playing with Draymond Green, Steph had to take on a different role, right? He had 11 assists. Yeah, he shot poorly, but towards the end of the game, you know, I just think even if there was no Draymond, Steph would figure it out because he's great. He would figure out a new way to play, right? But when you play with Dray, you play a different way. You know, I heard an interesting quote. I think it was Steve Kerr, but it might have been Chris Mullin talking about Draymond's assist numbers and how they were through the roof. And he actually tipped his hat to Steph and said, yeah, his assist numbers are through the roof because he's playing with Steph. Not only is he passing to the greatest shooter of all time, but Steph's quote-unquote gravity frees up so many people for those little, you know, when they all stay with Steph and then Toscano Anderson gets an open dunk, you know. So it's kind of like both players are dependent upon each other. And like you said it, Matt, I mean, basketball is a team game. You rely on each other, and your success is not mutually exclusive, you know. Enjoying the season, by the way, fellas. So thanks for taking my call, and that's all I got for you.
Dave, jump in here.
It's just it's such a nuanced discussion, and I think it's offensive to everyone who plays alongside a fellow superstar, because it's not just – and this is like the NFL conversation where we fixate on the quarterback. If the quarterback doesn't have a good offensive line, it doesn't matter how good you are. If Steph Curry doesn't have good teammates, he might as well be Kemba Walker. You look at Kemba Walker's numbers before he went to Boston, he's 25 a night, but he would shoot 39% because he was one-on-two most of the time. It doesn't mean Kemba Walker's not a great player, but when you don't have a good supporting cast, you're going to be somewhat limited. Guys, 7 times this year, Steph Curry has shot below 40% from the floor, not 3, from the floor. You know what the record is in those 7 games? Any guesses, what? Goo?
2-5.
Stein?
Probably better than that, because that's why you're bringing it up. 3-4.
You see why I don't want to play games with you? The answer's 4-3. And the greater point is that it's more than just one guy. And the caller made a good point about Steph's, quote, gravity, and 11 assists last night. So even when he's not out there and getting good looks with Draymond on the floor, he's such a great basketball player. He's elite that he makes those around him better. So this argument you guys are having over Draymond's impact, Matt's not taking away from Steph's greatness. He's just pointing out that when Draymond's not out there, it's tougher for Steph to be as great because he doesn't have the number one facilitator, the screen setter, the high basketball IQ. This is more of a compliment to Draymond Green than it is disrespect to Steph Curry. And, you know, Curry fans shouldn't take it as such because It's the nature of any player. If you took Larry Bird off of Boston and you made him a Cleveland Cavalier, he doesn't win an NBA championship. And, you know, maybe he and Brad Doherty and Mark Price at the tail end of Larry's career, they do something. But it's a different story no matter who you take off of what team.
Right. And, Stani, I'm not speaking for you, but I'm putting the rat on the table for me. If Dre was not playing with Steph Curry, I don't know what he would be. But I know if Steph Curry didn't have Draymond Green, he would still be Steph Curry. And I don't think there's a lot of people out there that would disagree with that statement. So if you're going to say, oh, what Dre means to Steph, let's do it the other way. Steph means to Dre.
No, we don't have to do it the other way because we know what Steph does for Dre and everybody. He's a superstar. That's what superstars do. They make their teammates better. That's a given, whether it's Curry or LeBron or anybody else. Nobody's going that direction at all. That's acknowledged to me. Let's go to Mailman Steve in Napa. What's up, Mailman Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, it's a team game. They make each other better. One's a great shooter. One's a great passer. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Also, I want to bring up the non-athletic looking great athlete more. I got Dennis Johnson as my first pick. What do you guys think?
I love DJ.
He didn't have the best body in the world. I love DJ too.
Without dunker.
Without making it about attractive or ugly, you could put him on Mount Sports Frecklemore.
No,
Blake Griffin, without a doubt, would be on there
as
well.
Who else we got?
How about this one out of nowhere? Yeah. Keith Kloss. Remember Keith Kloss, Spadoni? You know, 7'3 guy for the Clippers. He had freckles.
Wow.
Lefty, I think. Javier. Javier's in Vacaville. What's going on, Javi?
How are you guys doing today?
We're fine, Javi. Just get to it. Come on.
You don't really care, Javi.
I'm kidding.
So don't ask.
Well, that's a very subjective statement, but let me get to my point. So the point that I want to make is, yeah, great win last night. But we all can see, you know, the biggest route on the table is that even with Klay's return to Golden State Warriors come next year, they're just not going to be able to fend off the likes of the Brooklyns and the Clippers and the Lakers. Now, you know, we're in the business of winning championships here in the Bay Area. So I want everybody to be cognizant as Warrior fans listening out there. If I'm Golden State, Minnesota's going to finish in the bottom two. We're not going to get that pick. I'm calling the Wizards right now, and I'm offering them the second pick, Wiggins, and James Wiseman, and then calling Cleveland, and giving them 2 seconds for Drummond. And I'm running Steph, Clay, Bradley Beal, Draymond, and
Dibs.
Hey, Javier, can you just for one day turn off the trade machine and just enjoy what they have instead of always trying to come up with these cockamamie scenarios in fantasy basketball? I mean, can we just enjoy the game? Jeff Kent, enjoy the game.
Yeah, hit the pike.
No, that was gone. I like Javi.
The trade deadline is – I'm not saying I don't like Javi. I just asked him a question. Can we just dispense with the trade machine and just, hey, how about that squad? How about that unit?
After a big win last night, the biggest of the season.
Trying to package people, ship guys out. Champagne's not even dry yet.
Well, I also – I'm not sure that I agree, Dibs, with if you bring Clay back and you get – you know, like, who's to say how that team can't do something? You know what I mean? Who's to say Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman, and another two or three players, who's to say that team couldn't compete?
They better.
I wouldn't bet against them. John's in Oakland. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. I wanted to bring up one salient point about Draymond and Curry playing together.
We'll determine how salient it is.
Thanks.
The salience will be determined in-house, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to you guys. But if we go back to the last year the Warriors were playing under Mark Jackson, very much similar team, minus, of course, the important additions of Sean Livingston and Barbosa the next year, very much the same team that they had their first championship season. And outside of Kerr being the coach the next year, the biggest change that they made to their lineups was putting Draymond Green in place of the injured D. Lee. And you can see Steph's growth as a player and an MVP candidate between those two seasons. And that encapsulates Steiny's point about what Draymond does for Steph's game. And like you said, it's not taking anything away from Steph. He'd still be a great player, a Hall of Famer, without Dre or without any other players around him, or not any other players, but a different team, let's say. But the fact that Dre is there and plays the game that he does takes Steph's game to another level. He unlocks a different level in his game that wouldn't be possible without him or with a different player that has a similar statistical profile. And in that way, Draymond is unique and special. And that takes nothing away from Steph's greatness as a player. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Dibs?
I'm
going to
give it a solid
not?
7.5 on the salient scale. That was fairly salient. Valid. He went back to Mark Jackson, talked about the insertion of Draymond and what that did for Steph. And again, Goo, it's not about casting aspersions or putting down Steph Curry, because if Steph was in a different system with a different team and a different coach, his game would probably be a little bit different. But because he and Draymond have grown together and learned together and figured out how best they can work together, that's why so many of these plays don't happen when Draymond's not out there. The pitch and screen, or the DHOs, the dribble handoffs, they don't have the same success without Draymond.
And I totally understand that. And I understand the caller's last point. My point is, forget Dre. Put Steph on any other team. He will figure it out. And Steiny, last Friday, you brought up Harden. If he had to play that style, I believe he would be successful playing that style. That's my prerogative. But when we talk about these greats, these icons, Jordans, Kobes, the Birds, it ain't no Bird and such and such. I understand what Draymond means and how he's helped Steph Curry. But just give Curry his flowers. It ain't got to be, predicated on what Dre's done. My whole thing was, when you judge Steph Curry, it ain't going to be what Dre did for Steph. Steph is a badass. We've never seen him. And that was my whole point, Steiny. And that's why I politely asked you, how strong are you saying the Dre factor means for Curry? And that's why I brought up, if he was in another uniform and he wasn't playing with Dre, would he have still reached these heights, which I believe he would have?
It'd be different heights, and I don't discount that. I think Steph Curry is transcendent enough to where he still would Steph. Now, would you have three chips? I don't think so, would Draymond. But just the way those two together, I think, is the point that Steiny was trying to make, that, you know, Steph's greatness would be different, but without him, you know, Steph's played 700-and-something games in the regular season. And games without Draymond haven't gone as well individually for Steph as they have with him. That's all.
888-957-9570 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation, talking about Draymond's importance to Steph Curry and to the Golden State Warriors. We got Jockberty coming up at 12:48, and Charles Barkley told Draymond Green, hit the pike. We'll tell you more about that on the other side.
Dance. Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Jockberty coming up at 12:48. Looking forward to that, as we always do. Hey, Dibs, I got a question for you. Do you have a... When you call somebody a journeyman, do you have a certain number of teams and years where it officially becomes a guy becoming a journeyman?
I think it just depends on how many teams and how many years. I think, you know, you get a 12-year career, 6 teams, 15-year career, 8 teams. Like Vince Carter, could you call him a journeyman because he played so many teams at the end of his career? I think that's a fair bar. I think he's a journeyman, even though he's maybe on Mount Journeyman more because he was so good for so long. But if you play for more than 6 teams in a 10-plus year career, you're a journeyman.
And what I'm getting after here, Goo and Dibs, is Dibs was crafting a tease that I accidentally overlooked, and he said a career night for a journeyman. And I was like, who's he talking about? You must have been talking about the lefty, right?
Yeah, the old lefty. Not Oubre Jr., who's on his way to journeyman status.
He's in the fast lane. Yeah,
but Kent Bazemore, who, you know, Warriors, Lakers, Hawks, Portland, Sacramento, and now back to the Warriors. So six teams, and he started in 12, 13. So I think that suits him. I think that fits.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely. And, in fact, here's how you know a guy's a journeyman. When you forget two or more of his stops.
Right.
Then you really know.
Lakers.
Yeah, I kind of.
And there's no shame in that. You know, they keep a job.
No.
Duke and Ball, Bazemore, and he's been different spots. Obviously, you want to stay with one team, but, I mean, he's playing right now. But, three or more jerseys for me, Steiny, that you're a journeyman. My boy Eddie House was a journeyman. You know, he put on a few uniforms in his day. You know, it comes with the territory.
Ooh, three seems a little low, but it's your own journeyman definition. So
I also think if you play in three or more leagues or three or more countries, then you also can be a journeyman. Like Juan Toscano-Anderson is maybe a stop away from being a journeyman. And I'm with you, Goo. It's more of a tip of the cap than it is a scarlet letter. It's not a negative. It's a positive. It shows that you are adaptable in new locations and you're good enough to last. Those are both positives.
Mm-hmm. Guru, is Jimmy Butler a journeyman in your book?
You know what? He's got
three, right?
When you're top tier like he is, no shade at Harrison Barnes or Bazemore, I don't look at that as a – you're the franchise per se everywhere you go, or you're supposed to be. So I do different math, Dibs, when you talk about Jimmy Butler. You know, because you are that number one, that alpha male, you're supposed to be the franchise. So I'm going to say no to Jimmy Butler because he's a star.
So then clearly LeBron James, not a journeyman.
No, he's not.
Okay. Let's go to Duriel. Duriel in San Jose. What's up, Duriel? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, my thing is that people need to – lay off of Draymond, man. You know, every time we win a game, it's get rid of him or something. We lose a game, it's get rid of him or something. He won three championships here. He took care of his business. We signed the man. We're stuck with him. He's untouchable. Doesn't matter if he wants to average 2 points for the rest of his career. Oh, well, you know, we're just going to have to deal with it and have some guys around him to make up for it. You know, unless you're going to get somebody that's going to average 25 and 10 every single night, then maybe we'll take that. You know what I mean? Maybe we might have to, explore that a little bit. But other than that, Draymond's untouchable, man. We just got to deal with it. Warriors, hey, we're fine. We're going to the Western Conference Finals.
Duriel, real quick, I got a question because I want to make sure. You say Draymond's untouchable. Does that mean that we can't really get rid of him because he's making too much money, or he's so important to this team we can't trade him?
You know what, Jimmy G, if you would have won that one championship, we wouldn't get rid of you neither. You could have five bad seasons in a row, and you'd be all good around here. That's what I mean by that. You know, Draymond won his championships. He's that important to the team. He means that much to the Bay Area and all our fans here. He's going in the Warriors Hall of Fame and all that stuff. I don't know about the NBA Hall of Fame, but he's definitely Warriors Hall of Fame, baby. You know, he can't do no wrong around here.
Appreciate it, Duriel. Appreciate it.
I'm thinking about last night, Steiny. If Draymond was available, who wouldn't have played? Would Pascal have been out there? Because I want to see more Pascal ever since Saint brought that up with Draymond. But the finishing five last night, I was wondering if Dre's available, who's not out there? Because I know Bazemore would have been out there. Obviously, Steph, Oubre, Wiggins. I guess Pascal, right?
Probably. It probably would have been Pascal to the bench, I would think. Draymond definitely would have been out there, though, pretty sure. You know, it's funny, Dibs, and I think there's some people that when they think of Draymond, they're like, he's untouchable, meaning we can't trade Draymond. He's too important. But there is another group of Warrior fans that aren't as high on Draymond, and they say, well, we're stuck with him because he's making 25-plus million and he's averaging 5 points a game. Where are you on that?
Man, I don't want to be Humpty Dumpty here on the wall stuck in the middle, but I do see both camps. But I lean toward the side of you need to have Draymond Green because of the intangibles and what he brings. Brian in Palo Alto, the aforementioned guy, gets so much run, but he's among the anti-Draymond camp. So if he's out there, I would love for him to weigh in. But I look at Draymond Green, and when he's on the floor, he's normally in the positive. The team does well when he's out there. Even if he is a triple-single machine and he doesn't rebound like he used to and he doesn't defend like he used to, it's the intangibles that he brings. There aren't players like him that you can find. So I lean toward he's a guy who's untouchable. But at the same time, 4 years, $99 million, and the back end of that contract looks like the deals that the San Francisco Giants signed for their roster. They're replete with him. They're still trying to shake free of some of those. So I do see it both ways, but in the short term, I'm much more of the mind of you got to have Draymond Green.
And Stoney, let's put the right on the table. The Warriors have been so spoiled over the years. They didn't need Draymond scoring. You've never heard me tell you, Stoney, even at the old ship, I need Draymond to score more, because they were spoiled. They didn't need it. But this year when Clay went down, you got Wiseman, you're taking baby steps. You know what, Dre, I'm looking around, we need you to score. But next year, Dibs, when Clay 11 is ready and he's healthy, Draymond can go back to doing exactly what he's doing now, and I don't think it impacts the offense to where it's like, oh, we need you to do more. Because he's proven from a physical standpoint, he's ready to go now. He can still do the stuff you just mentioned.
Goo, do you buy your rats in bulk? Because you put six on the table today, and
nah,
Ike Taylor says you're
today.
One. Do you want
six
me to rack
roll?
Up
one? Six?
Yeah, you put six. That's a whole week. Ike Taylor's about to give you a seven-piece.
It's the same story.
Yeah, we don't get a series.
Right.
That's one game.
I'm feeling good.
It's a big difference, bro.
Throwing rats out, yeah.
No, it's good. I mean, do you have a cage you bring all those rats in? Are they alive before you put them on the
like
table?
Rodents.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah. I don't like rodents, Dibs. Yeah.
Apparently, you don't mind putting them on the table, though.
Rats.
One thing Guru and I do agree on.
Stoney, I got a picture of a guy in New York this morning. I got it off Facebook. He got a rat. He caught a rat. It was as big as a dog. I'm going to send it to you now. It just scared me, man.
Are you serious?
I can't stop thinking about it. Maybe that's why I'm rat.
It looks like
a dog. It's so big.
I'm actually thinking about, if I went into hypnotism, could I get hypnotized to not be afraid of rats?
I'll be right there with you. Let's do it two together, man.
I'm with you. Here's one thing, and follow me here a little bit, because it's with the Draymond thing, Dibs and Goo. So, I watch the Hawks a lot, and they're 13-16. Yeah, I was struggling a little bit, and I'm looking at their team, and I'm like, for the first time, I thought, you know what? I'll tell you who the Hawks could use is Draymond Green. He would be great for the Hawks. Could facilitate. They need a defensive player. And so then I'm thinking, okay, well, who could the Hawks give up? Well, first of all, the first guy would be John Collins. Well, John Collins is a 20-10 guy. But does anybody believe that if John Collins were traded to the Warriors and Draymond to the Hawks, that the Warriors would be better with John Collins, even though he's a 20-10? And I'm not saying they would or wouldn't be. I'm asking a question.
Maybe in 2 years they'd be better, but when Draymond starts to slow down a little bit. But to your point about Draymond Green and Steph together, how much better Steph is, I don't know if John Collins has the same ability to run the dribble handoff or run the offense. He seems to be more of a traditional stretch four type of player, not somebody who can ball handle and run a team. So what then for your Golden State Warrior first team? Because you don't want Steph to have to handle the ball that much. And the second unit, we've talked about the struggles of Brad Wanamaker. Some have even said so much as he's got to go. But so I think if you lose Draymond Green, what does that do to your point guard position?
Yeah, exactly.
And you want to have style, Stoney. So, again, offensively, would you be better? Yep. But all around, would you be better? Nope. And it goes back to what you two just mentioned, Dibs, with the intangibles that we all know Draymond Green brings to this team. And that does include his rapport with Steph. So I wouldn't say they would be better if they were to do that.
Yeah, see, I think they'd be worse on both sides of the ball, believe it or not. Because, I think, and we can put this to bed now. Here, Trae Young, all right? You think Trae Young's pretty good?
Yeah,
good little player.
Okay, let's just say he's good. If he were playing alongside Draymond Green, I think he'd be better. I think he'd be more efficient. as opposed to a guy like John Collins, who doesn't really pass the ball a lot.
I buy that.
That's all I'm saying about Draymond Green. But anyway, is there anything the Hawks you'd take for Draymond Green?
I'm not.
Hello?
You answered that. I mean, you guys answered that without answering. I appreciate that because it's almost stronger than a no. Just discard it.
I think when you trade a player making $25 million a year, you're going to have to get a guy coming back making $25 million a year. And normally those players that teams are looking to part at that price point aren't very good, or they're flawed in some way. And Draymond Green's flaws, I think, are maybe what he cares too much. He tries too hard. He can't score particularly, but what he provides you in other areas, I think, offsets that. And John Collins, 20-10, but what's his problem to where Atlanta would want to move off of him? He's what, 25 years old, or not much older, 24?
23.
I mean, so is he Oubre-ian in his abilities? Where, I mean, why would you want to move off a guy like that? Why does Kelly Oubre have four different sets of uniforms in his closet and he's 25 years old, you know?
Yeah, I think with Collins, it's they wanted to sign him to a long-term extension before the season. He turned it down, turned like $90 million down. And I think then they're like, well, we can't pay you $30 million a year. You're not quite that good. The way the trade would, you know, the Warriors could take on John Collins for Draymond Green, and then they could sign him to an extension because he's a free agent at the end of the year. They would have his bird rights. But again, the like you think about that, if the Warriors, a framework of a deal, Draymond Green for a guy like John Collins, I think the Hawks would have to give the Warriors more, believe it or not.
And I'm just looking at these teams, Steiny, Draymond, just real quick here. What if Brooklyn had Draymond? What if Boston had him? Milwaukee, every team needs a Draymond Green. And that's why we talked about it, how rare he is. But, dude, if you could, even the Lakers, if you could win or you're close to winning, I mean, he could send you over the top with his skill set.
Yeah, I think a real – yeah, if you put Draymond on Portland, I think they'd be a problem.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Because I think he's been a big part of the difference there. Not that – I mean, you know, Curry and Clay over the years have outplayed Lillard and McCollum, but it's been Draymond's dominance that's really kind of put Portland behind the eight ball, at least as it goes to the Warriors. Let's go to – how about Goose? Goose in Vallejo. You ever heard of – Rob and Sam Bruno. We don't have the Goose. Goose Givens. Jack Givens, remember him? Left in Kentucky. Goose is golden.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going
on,
fellas?
Hey, Rob.
Man, look, check this out, man. What's up? Guru, you know what I'm about. I'm about putting that ball in the hoop. I don't really care about passing. Look, if I'm Golden State, I'm trading Draymond at his highest peak right now. He's playing good Draymond basketball. And that's not great basketball, but he's playing good Draymond basketball. I trade his ass. Look, man, Warriors got to look out for Wiseman. Wiseman is the future. You're not winning no more championship with Draymond playing center small ball no more, because I think teams has caught up with the Warriors and they got younger guys that can play that style of basketball. You look at last night, Bam. Bam is Draymond 2.0, but can actually shoot the ball and make plays and put the ball in the hoop. So I feel like right now you feel Draymond high. It's just right now it's his highest peak. Warriors need to look towards the future, all right? The future is Wiseman. That's what they need to develop, Wiseman. All Draymond is doing is taking away from Wiseman. And secondly, I think when y'all said Curry, that Draymond made Curry, or no, I think Curry put Draymond in position to use his skill set. Because if you go back to when they played Denver in the first round, Mark Jackson, Draymond wasn't getting heavy minutes. He wasn't. It was David Lee, and Curry and Clay still was putting up buckets. But what happened was Kerr seen what Draymond can do, and he put Draymond in position to where Draymond can use his set. So to me, I don't think it's Draymond making Curry better. I think it's Kerr understanding what Draymond can do, what he can and what can't do, and he just put him in position to where he can do what he can do without exposing his weaknesses. So I'm giving that credit to Kerr. I'm not giving Draymond credit for making Curry great. Curry, you got a wetter, and he's born with that's greatness. You can't
get him off. He said wetter.
We love
get him off.
Yeah.
Only Kalen Azubuki and Dibs can use wetter.
I disagree. You got to help make it part of everyone's lexicon, Steiny.
I kind of don't feel that one, but you know, that's just me.
Is there one you do feel?
You know
anything
what?
Anything that's jargony, like babyface assassin. I know you bristle at and
no, I like Fitz,
Wetter and Day-Day.
There's one call I like that when Fitz does it. When it's a big time of a game and Curry shoots a three and he goes, "Yes, sir!" I do like that.
Well,
you don't like that, Kyle? Did I see Kyle shaking
his head? "Yes, sir"
is like...
from Vern Lundquist and Masters, Jack Nicklaus, 1986. That's "Yes, sir."
I don't have an issue with...
Hello, friends. Go ahead, Kyle. Here is my... Let's go out to 15. Here's Kyle Madsen.
Yeah, thanks, Tibbs. Didn't have an issue with the "yes, sir." I thought you were going to go with the "good" call. Back to you, Tibbs.
Thank you. And now we'll go to Butler Cabin, where Daryl the Guru Johnson is interviewing Tiger Woods. Daryl?
Back to you.
It was too real. Go, a lot of people want to hear from Tiger.
That's when Spinoni, if he wasn't laughing so hard, he would have played the "Hey, it's Tiger," and then we would have had to laugh and we would have moved off this. But that's all right. That's where guys, playing without Draymond is hard on Steph, and us playing remotely is tough on us. But ultimately, you got to get results. They need to get results. We need it too.
Yeah, well said, Dibs.
I got a roving preschool out my window. I got people walking their dog in my yard and, trying to make things happen.
I got some landscape people outside with the blowers.
Yeah.
Well, at least your neighbors care. That's a good thing, Steiny.
No, they're at our house.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I need to do me a huge favor.
Want to hear something kind of funny? I did it again. Let's try it again. Hey, you guys want to hear something funny? Choke artist. All right, Doc Rivers was on a Zoom call after the Clippers game last night, a Clippers game that I guess won Guru some more money. He is riding hot. Take a listen to Doc Rivers' Zoom press conference after the game last night.
Hey, Doc. Pretty prolific first half from you guys without Ben, and then Joel kind of a
Jackson, are you in bed right now?
I am laying on my bed, yeah.
Jesus Christ, Jackson. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Jackson is a beat writer, Dibs, wow. And apparently I've dug in a little more on this story. He wasn't being cavalier. That writer Jackson is staying at his parents' house right now. And it's the only room he can Zoom from, apparently.
Was he sitting on his bed or lying on his bed?
I think he was propped up. It was a prop up. It was not laying all the way down and not sitting Indian style or yoga style, as we like to
criss-cross applesauce is what
criss-cross
we
applesauce.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Nice. As I try to clean up on aisle three, apparently bring the mop for that one.
Thank you. Take it from here, Diz.
Thank you. Not under the covers either. On top of the covers, I assume. And I'm not trying to pry too deep into Jackson's home life with his parents, but I have a senior in high school and he's been Zooming his way through his final days. And, it started where you'd Zoom down in the office and then, now you're Zooming at your desk in your room and then you're Zooming from your bed and then you're Zooming in bed. So at some point you got to draw a line on where you perform your work functions.
Right.
You know, cause I'm currently in my bedroom where I'm staying, but, I'm not in the bed. The bed is literally an arm's length away. I could broadcast from bed, but I try to keep it at least slightly professional, Goo. And, try to at least get dressed and, not be.
Dibbers.
Early
on. Cue up the usher, please. You got to wait for usher for the confession here. Come on, Spadone. These are my
confessions. Early on in the pandemic, I wasn't used to Zoom. Steiny caught me in my da-dun-da-duns. I was going to break. Forgot I was in them. Got up, and Steiny goes.
Wait, your skadunk-a-dunk? What's that?
My draws. Hey, and Steiny called me out on it, Dibs. He don't know I still got a scar from it. Because I was, I knew I was in my home. And then we go to break. He goes, "Guru, they're rather tight." I was like, "Yeah, I've been putting on a few, but I'm back now. I'm ready."
Yeah, that's a boy.
Surprisingly, I'm more bothered by the sleeveless T-shirt than the than sitting there with a boxer shorts. I don't know why.
It's because you've got arm envy, because he's actually got some guns. I'm not talking AR-15 or anything. It's, you know, it's like maybe 22 caliber, but at least you got guns.
23,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, something like that. No pythons, but no garter snakes, but at least he got something. What I take issue with is the image that I have frozen on my Zoom right now, Goo, which is
your
picture's frozen with your water bottle, though, in your mouth. So if you wouldn't mind just turning off your camera in the interest of...
Thank you. That's communication. You could have texted me, too.
Well, yeah, and I texted you about Europa League locks.
Yeah,
so
I'm in.
We're
about
that.
That's our secret.
We already brought that home,
Goo.
Go ahead and refresh your balance, because that was a winner from Nostra Diblis.
Yeah. Dibs gave me a soccer one, Stoney. We're living it up.
two-teamer.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. It's just little stuff like Dibs was talking about some soccer yesterday. And then, you know, the great Carl Stewart from the Oakland Tribune, retired, big soccer fan. It's just, I don't know why I think of this. He tweeted out after the show yesterday something like, Juventus is still okay. They're still all right after the day's activities, you know. So then I always think, why don't you ask Dibs what that really means? Because it sounds like Juventus might have lost, but they're still okay.
Please explain. A two-legged two-legged round of 16. So, you know, like Ike Taylor would say, it's not a series. It's one game. But in this case, it's one game in each home park. It's a two-game, quote, series, and it's determined based on aggregate goals. So if you lose 4-0 on the road, and then you come back and you win 4-0 at home – it's 4-4 at that point. Now, the nuanced thing, Steiny, is the tiebreaker is away goals. So if you you score at the other person's park, even if aggregate goals are tied, you would advance at that juncture.
I call that a whole week.
Yeah.
It's just back-to-back, Ike. That's all. Well, thanks for that explanation, Dibs. Appreciate it.
Sure, you're welcome.
Yeah. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. It's the best half hour in radio. Jockberty coming up next, sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.